Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Of those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, God is constantly calling us to himself. We have the prophet Isaiah in the first reading here expressing the sentiments of the Lord God. It says, "Come to me, listen, that you may have life. I will renew with you the everlasting covenant. Come to me." So the Lord sends out this invitation. We answer that invitation by faith. That's our response to God. Now we are all called to live by faith, to live in charity, and to live with hope. The devil, the flesh, and the world are constantly tempting us away from this, to doubt rather than to have faith, to have hate, unforgiveness, and anger rather than charity, to have despair rather than hope. And when we go through trials and tribulations and temptations, the enemy loves to strike at that moment because we're weak. He'll say oftentimes we go through difficulties, "Really? Does God love you?" He plants that doubt. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, we have the tempter of the serpent going after Eve. And what he does, right at the very beginning, he plants doubt. Did God really say you can't eat of any tree? Did God really say, you read those, whoa, he starts off with that doubt. Now, when we go through difficulties, St. Paul went through many difficulties. Everything he lists us mentioned here in Romans 8, he went through anguish, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. But we're not overwhelmed by this. I've unreservedly given myself to Christ, and I'm sticking at his side. Lord, I'm staying with you in the good times and bad times. Now, when we go through these difficulties, if we make that act of the will, "Jesus, I trust in you." Or, in other words, you could use, "Jesus, I surrender this to you." Or, "Jesus, I love you." Or, "Jesus, I praise you." Some kind of act of faith in those difficulties is very, very powerful. It's like we're taking giant leaps in growth and in faith and hope and charity. Now, this gospel, you know, the scriptures are wonderful. Every time you read them, they speak to your heart in different ways. There's so many different aspects of the scriptures here today, where our Lord's getting the apostles ready for the great miracle of the Eucharist. But it says our Lord went to a deserted place. Deserted place. But what happened? These people came and they followed him to this deserted place. Now, when you go to a deserted place, You know, after a while, you know, you're going to be hungry, you're in unfamiliar surroundings, there could be extra stress and things. Have you had that experience when you've traveled? Have you ever had an experience of traveling where you maybe take the bus or car to O'Hare, then you get on one flight, and then a connecting flight, maybe Dubuque, and then a connecting flight back, and then the train, and then you're looking for your luggage and everything. And you go through those different situations, you can't, and going with a group. Sometimes if things aren't going the way that you'd like, at the time you miss a flight, a lot of distress there. It's really easy for anger to come out and things like that. So these people, they've been probably following the Lord. It took a long time for them to get there, but they follow them into this deserted place, and it's already late. You can imagine some of them are hungry, they're going through difficulties, but because they kept their focus on Christ, they forgot self, their focus on Christ. Christ feeds them. He rewards them. He takes care of their needs. He said he saw the crowds and he had pity on them. Now, this past week has been difficult for many in the tri-state area. People, their businesses flooded with water. People, a lot of water in their homes, basements. People lost their cars, different roads and things wiped out. All these different difficulties. But in the midst of that, God really, truly calls us out to say, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. I'm going to give you just 5 points, fruits. When we go through difficulties, if we can surrender it to Christ, what happens? So just real briefly, here's the good effects of fruits. If we get in the habit of doing this, surrendering things to Jesus when it doesn't make sense or against what we would like. First, once we do that, it shifts the focus off ourselves onto God, detachment from our wills. Which is so important because in today's society, it's so selfish. So if something goes on, Lord, I give it to you. So we're the focus is on Christ. Deserve a place, not in our difficulty. Second, growth of unconditional love of God. You know, it's really easy to love God when everything is going well around us. But when we're put to the test, that's where we show, are we really true? Are we really true? So unconditional love of God. Third, we obtain a greater sense of peace and interior joy. I'll share some words of Mother Teresa here in a moment. She had a great peace and interior joy because she was in the habit of totally surrendering everything over to God with great faith, living in that faith and hope and charity. Fourth, what will happen is things thrown our way. The devil wants us to be accursed. He wants us to curse God, renounce our faith, walk away, I don't need prayer, I don't need church. If we could take that moment of difficulty, surrender to God, we could take something that the devil would like to be a curse for us and change it into a blessing, and a very rich blessing. And then fifth, if we're in the habit of surrendering to God, Jesus, I trust in you, we become a brighter light in the world. We're all called to be light of Christ in the world, and that light increases, become a powerful demonstration of faith and trust in God. Now, Mother Teresa, this is what she said around this, about this loving trust. Something we should all say. She says, one thing Jesus asks of me, that I lean on him, that in him and only in him I put my complete trust, that I surrender myself to him unreservedly, even when all goes wrong and I feel as if I am a ship without a compass. I must give myself completely to him. I must not attempt to control God's actions. I must not count the stages in the journey that he would have me make. I must not desire a clear perception of my advance upon the road. I must know precisely where I am upon the way of holiness. I ask him to make a saint of me. Yet, I must leave to him the choice of the saintliness itself, and still more, the means which leads to it. So God's means and God works in mysterious ways. And it's through those difficulties that God really, truly is there, calling us to live, you know, by faith, live in charity, and to live with hope. Now, there's three, well, you know, I'll share this story, if I get the right name. I was with some friends last evening. There's a gentleman, Robert Rogers, and August of 2003 went through a great tragedy. When I first heard this story, It just blew me away. This is a gentleman who was living faith, hope, and charity. Had a family, had a wife. They had four children. One children was autistic. Another child they adopted from China. And they were at a wedding, a particular Saturday. 8 o'clock in the evening, they're leaving the wedding reception, driving home. They buckled the two younger kids in the back of the minivan, and the two others in the far back, and the wife and the husband in the front. And as we're driving, this is in Missouri, all of a sudden, flash flood. So driving, all of a sudden, this water just came. It was getting dark, so they couldn't see everything clearly. And all of a sudden, there was water in the van, and they were no longer on the ground, and they're floating. And they went up and they hit against the side of some kind of like barrier. And then what happened, there was these barriers, and they said that each one weighed about 10,000 pounds of concrete. All of those then started being rushed down too, and so the van got pushed off about a mile and a half from the main highway, and they found it. Well, they're in the car, and they're praying. Oh, Jesus, help us. Jesus, we praise you. Calling the kids to faith on something they've been practicing in season and out of season. So they're going through this. The husband and wife are talking. They say, okay, what are we going to do here? And they've called the church, asked for prayers. And they said, well, we're going to have to, the car's filling up with water. We're going to have to open one of these doors. And they couldn't do that, the pressure. We're going to have to just kick out with our feet one of these windows. They thought, well, that's the only thing we could do. Well, when they did that, he wasn't in the seatbelt at the time. He got sucked out. His wife and one of the other children. And he said he was just water and there was mud. He couldn't see. And all of a sudden, there was a tree there. He grabbed on it and came to shore. And he was calling out for his wife and his children. Well, the emergency teams eventually, they got there when the water subsided to a certain degree. And he found out the next morning that his wife and his four children had died that night. The water, they all drowned, and a couple of them were still seated above them in the car. Imagine yourself in that situation. What? It's overwhelming just to think about it. Curse God and die, Job's wife said. Or I don't need God or church, where was God then? He said, I had a choice right then and there. I could go into a little ball of self-pity, or I could live this by faith. And he said, I knew that my wife and my children were in a beautiful place with the Lord because we were living Christ-centered lives. He, at that moment, was in a deserted place, but he wasn't by himself. He was with Christ. The first several days, obviously, were very, very difficult, but he came through with shining colors. He said, I will spend the rest of my life preaching faith in Christ. He's a Baptist minister right now, preaching a life in Christ, even through these difficulties. It's like, wow! But all the prayers he was going up to that point. So here's a gentleman living faith, hope, and charity. Now, we as Catholics, we have something that's great, that's awesome, that Presbyterians and Methodists don't have. We have Jesus, the bread of life, body, blood, soul, divinity in the Eucharist. And there's tremendous graces there. In fact, the Catechism says all the gifts and graces of the Church are there in the Eucharist. So just real briefly, this is just from the Scriptures. There's three sources of nourishment for the soul based on the Scriptures. Three sources of nourishment which we need to live the life of Christ fully. Now when I ask, like in grade school, when I ask the kids, usually they get two of them. But one is they don't get right away, but it's in the Scriptures. The first one is Matthew 4:4 from the words of our Savior. Our Lord said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. The Scriptures, it strengthens our faith, it elevates our mind, the things of heaven. So the Word of God, and you could also put in that category, spiritual reading, good Catholic books, CDs, Lives of the Saints, strengthens the faith, the Word of God. Second, but most importantly, the Eucharist, John chapter 6, verse 53. The words of our Savior, truly, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You have life that strengthens your soul and strengthens charity specifically, because that is God, love incarnate. So it strengthens your charity of your soul. And then the last one, and sort of like what we're talking about here today, is doing the will of God. John chapter 4, verse 32. Our Lord says, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his works. Doing the will of God, abandoning ourselves to the will of God, strengthens hope. So when we go through different trials, temptations, and difficulties, at that moment, you know, all right, God, in your permissive will, this has happened. I surrender it to you. When you come up and when you receive Holy Communion today, ask the Lord, Lord, help me to grow in faith, hope, and charity. To love you unconditionally. That's the stuff that saints are made of. You know, if we get to that point of living that fully capable of charity, when we die, guess what happens? Straight to heaven. We're oftentimes a little weak, so we have to be purified in purgatory. But so we receive the Lord, help me to grow in faith, hope, and charity. So that I could say with St. Paul in Romans chapter 8, whether I'm going through anguish, distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, no, I conquer all these things with you. Because I'm living a life of faith. It doesn't matter what's going on around here. Lord, I'm sticking with you, my hand in your hand. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.